Oh,
my.
It's sweet.
Well, I hope you don't expect me to go out and have experiences of my own that I don't come immediately back and try to share. In the spirit and power in which I experienced them. I expect that if that's too much for you, you'll just go away, as we often do. But if you can tolerate a high degree of warmth, you may not get much out of this sermon. Anything that moves us irritates us to the point where we change, right? So, I don't know when the heat will go off of this. But God is moving powerfully in the church. And it's easy when you live south of town or in a cow pasture or in a remote location. It's hard sometimes to be connected without somebody bringing the drop cord. Right? And in a way, that's my function today, is to bring a drop cord that's connected to the church worldwide, globally, and bring it here to you. But see, it's not my job to make you feel it. Only the Holy Spirit will do that. And anybody who's speaking will be a conduit for God to use. It doesn't have to be me. The scripture I want to pull out today is the portion that was just read in verse 57. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, even here to us. Find in us a willing receptacle for this word. Use words if necessary, Lord, but thank you for the dialogue that you will strike up in every heart. Thank you for the responses that it takes courage in order to respond. We ask that you bind every contrary spirit, every unclean spirit, every demonic influence in the lives and hearts of the people present here. Cast them into confusion. Destroy their ability to communicate or to influence people's thoughts so that the word may have its pure and unfiltered effect. Come, Holy Spirit, to speak to each of us through the medium of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. What if you could wake up every morning and while you were having your breakfast, you could look out the window and instead of seeing a pasture and 3 miles of empty road, you'd see Jesus either at the edge of your yard or in the driveway or in the street. And he was preaching and talking, and something about him was so compelling that your neighbors and even cars were pulling over on the side of the road to come over. And every day, you see that out of your window. And finally you say, I've got to get out there and find out what's going on. So you go near. Now, near is a relative term because there are already hundreds of people around. The closest ones in proximity seem to be where all the action is, right? People are falling on the ground, you know. He's touching them and healing them. There are all kinds of reactions. But you're far enough away to be safe. Matter of fact, some people near where you are repeatedly say to themselves, can you tell what he's saying? I think he was saying, and you know, you only get bits and pieces of it, but you're irresistibly drawn to this. Wouldn't that be so good, just getting near Jesus like that? Or even better yet, what if it was you go to breakfast every morning to do your devotions at your table, and Jesus joins you? And so every day, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you and Jesus to sit there at your breakfast table, before the crowds, before the hullabaloo and all that stuff, and you sit there, and you get to, you know, you can ask him questions, You can hear his heart on matters like this heat wave. But inevitably, whether he's in the yard or in the street or in your at your table, there's going to be a moment when he says, well, gotta go. Gotta go. I gotta be about my Father's business. And he says, won't you come? Why don't you come? It'll be a blast. It'll be so fun. You're going to enjoy this so much. And yes, there will be a lot of challenges. And it'll be difficult. But won't you come? Now, the art to this, of course, is to be involved without being involved. So, you know, if you stay far enough away, you can escape. That's what I do when I go to most gatherings. I can stay far enough away that I can disengage safely. And if the escape hatch doesn't open, I got Joy to grab me by the cuff of my shirt, my coat, drag me toward the doorway, you know. And away we're safe. Following in a distance with Jesus is what most people did. Just by default, there were times when those who got there first were closest. But they were all in the various proximities to Jesus. And wouldn't it be great? Couldn't you just hear yourself saying, I could do this every day. I could do this every day. Lord, help me do this every day. Soon enough, you'd be practicing, you know. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll follow you wherever you go. And the challenge would be to clear your calendar, to change your life around. So often, you might be one of those people who just lingered at the edges for so long that you feel like you've got it all. That you comfortably can disengage when you want. That you can keep a hold of your scheduling and your timing. And you can come and enjoy God and taste of God and see that God is good on your own time. You choose to follow Jesus. And technically, you are following Jesus, irregardless of the proximity. So we can hear ourselves saying, Lord, I could do this every day. I'll come back tomorrow. Or I could do this for the next 20 minutes, but then I've got to. Or I could endure this for the next 45 minutes as long as he don't stand there and talk the whole time. You see, we come to Jesus feeling as though we could do this all the time. As long as, number one, our escape is assured. And number two, that we don't have to give up our time and our space. That we can engage Jesus on our terms. That's one of the things about when, you know, church people begin to experience callings of different kinds. The people on that pew immediately shove them off the pew. Because we've got to get the temperature back to normal on our space, right? We don't need anybody funking up our juju with Jesus, with their warm-hearted spirituality, the irritating expressiveness of love for Christ and their exuberance for that. I wish you could have seen Luther O'Connor trying to get the South Carolinians up and going, man, and then we all just sat there like this. Lord, help me. He'd go back. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, if you look at this little guy sideways or something, what is all this? I will definitely come back tomorrow. And so you keep coming back. And you come back and you come back. And sometimes you get involved in this group or that group, and we hear more about what Jesus had to say. And Matthew, John, James, they teach us. And so we learn a little bit more deeply about what it is Jesus has been saying. But strangely, we didn't know that because we had to keep showing up, our proximity to Jesus was getting perilously closer. Perilously close. Until one day, we not only can hear what he's saying, it feels as though he's saying it to who? Us. And when he's talking, he's speaking directly to us. Now suddenly we're too close. And our careful, cultivated distance, so that we don't have to emotionally enter into what we have intellectually presented to in our hearts and minds. You know, it's fine. We watch the peasants as they interact with Jesus, and we applaud. That's very good. I don't need that personally, but for those who do. You say, Lord, suddenly you blurt out what you thought so many times. So many times, and this time it just comes out. Lord, I'll go wherever you go. Did I say that? Well, I'm going to be embarrassed in the morning when I get up. And the Lord turns around to you and he says those words to sort of top this off. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And there it is. We always followed until it was time to get back to our lives. You know, the real world. Where we were in control of times and dates and events. And whether we were there, we really showed up for our children so they won't be mad at us when they're old and say, oh, you didn't raise me well, Daddy, or you didn't do right, Mama. You're always off at church doing this or that. I sometimes thought you loved Jesus more than me. I'm pretty sure you loved Jesus more than me. And here's where you begin to learn that the truly intimate times with Jesus are reserved for those who have proximity to him. You cannot live in intimacy with Jesus at the back of the crowd where you can't even hear what he's saying. He can be talking to anybody as long as you're admit one of 500. But if you're one of the intimate people, he's talking to you and you are talking to him. And you know he needs a response. And you can't say, I'm pretty sure my dad's going to die in the next 3-4 years. As soon as that clears my calendar, I'm yours again. I'll be right back here, I promise. Or I've got a big deal to settle in town. As soon as that's done, I'll come right back. Or how about this? Lord, I see where this is going. Pretty soon, you're going to tell me to leave. I saw what you did with Matthew. I saw James. I pretty much saw it all, Lord. And I know that if I follow you, I'm not only going to be following the followers, I'm going to be leading the followers. The problem with today's message is, as this first one after my own and others' experience of what we encountered at annual conference, which was God's invasion of South Carolina. As it is in South Carolina, as it is in heaven. It's coming to a church near you. You better be thinking now, how in the world am I going to get out of this? for decades. You could hear it and walk away. There was a revival in Spartanburg we didn't even know anything about. Do you know what happened? Do you know that thousands were saved? They're now in the kingdom of God, drug abusers, drunks. They're going into the kingdom of God before us. And I have said, you know, I don't want to be using my backwater status as an excuse to avoid intimate proximity to Jesus. So I'm faced with a decision. If I still follow at a distance, can I regain that distance that, you know, that will allow for some room? Some cognitive room? Some comfort? Or will I get closer? But today, you're close enough to hear him say directly to you, come closer. Now, foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But your proximity to me means where you lay your head tonight. Whether you die a comfortable death or somewhat painful death will not be yours to control, but mine. Today you're close enough to hear him say, come closer. Come closer. So you get closer. And then he says, go into all the world. Go into your neighborhood. Don't skip the ethnic households. Don't skip the poor. Matter of fact, let's get this carpet really dirty with people not like us. Who smell like urine or vomit. Or like last night's campfire. Let's make this truly, truly a picture of the kingdom of God in this space. You go. Not you follow. Not Matthew, I appoint you as leader. The rest you follow. No, you go. Folks, we have opportunities in this second leg of our lives together to do ministry in the hills of North Carolina. We still have room in the mission field to go to the diner or to the 321, well, it's not 321, 221 Grill and talk to somebody about Jesus. In the most natural lifestyle way. And when people come and say, there's that guy, he always talks about Jesus. I'm not changing the tables. Make no mistake. When Jesus says, won't you come, won't you go with me? The term, we got a complicated psychological spiritual term for that. It's called calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling you and me. Today, the Holy Spirit wants your response. You're with me all the way to here in this message today. The last thing is, some of you don't have a whole lot of time. Is your response. If I don't know what he's calling you to be, I don't know what he's calling you to do. But there's not anybody in here that he doesn't have a purpose and a plan for your complete allegiance with him, what that would look like. Probably more specific, it would be, I don't know how close he's calling you, but he's calling you closer than you are now. Always, evermore closer. And most have something to excuse themselves. Lord, till I have my knee replacement, I'm not going to be much good. Or, you know, traffic's a bear. Some others have someone to blame. Someone keeping them from the fellowship. Somebody driving them from the church. Somebody they just can't stand to be around. That says more about you than it does about them. Snob? A Christian snob. Oh, that's a funny oxymoron. But we are those who understand the peculiar kind of grace that has entered our lives. And we earnestly desire that for other people. Where are you today? Where are you today? In all of your responding, in all of your talking to Jesus, where along that continuum are you? I want you to hear him say, in this time right now, come closer. Now, if I said, come to the altar, there'd be a few who got right here. They could smell my breath. But just by the nature of the room, some would be at the very back. You might find yourself symbolically at the back of the crowd you're trying to defeat in this sermon message, right? It doesn't mean I should throw the baby out with the bathwater, does it? And so I say, today, you're feeling a burning, warm sensation in your heart. I promise you, God is demanding a response. And so I say, wherever you are, right now in this minute, come closer. And let's spend some time. Don't you come. Come. Wherever you are, come. No, I wasn't kidding.